The trial of Alec Baldwin getting underway, and then in a kind of surprising turn of events, Judge Mary Marlowe Sumner ordered a temporary recess in the pretrial hearing as they're kind of getting things together. It came after a contentious debate between the prosecution and Baldwin's defense team over redacted documents that were provided to the defense. It's been very interesting to see how this is going so far. The court not happy with this, Judge Sumner declared before announcing a one-hour recess, adding, "I'll see what's going to happen." Very dramatic. The documents in question were related to an Inspection of Public Records Act request that was filed by Baldwin's defense team, which they claim included emails and witness statements that were fully redacted. Let's just take a listen and see if we can figure out exactly what they're talking about. Let's take a look here. Hi.
Responding largely with Ms. Morrissey, who had been the prosecutor on this case for quite some time before Ms. Johnson came on. Our requests for production and our concerns about it looking like we had incomplete discovery, like it looked like we had incomplete disclosures, were constantly met with, "You have everything, there's nothing else to give you," or, "If you tell me specifically what you're looking for out of these, you know, IPRA productions that are redacted, tell me specifically what it is that you want unredacted, and then I'll take a look." What we did was, realizing that we were getting nowhere, again, after all of these months, we had dealt with IPRA to try to take it upon ourselves, even though it's not our obligation, to try to get more documents. Those came in over the course of about 7 months, again, heavily redacted. And we could tell that there were some documents that certainly appeared to have the type of content that we would be entitled to. But many, many of them had, you know, entire sections that were just completely blacked out, so we don't know what the content was at all. We could only see, you know, who the sender and recipient were, and everything was blacked out. So we were left to guess, whereas the state has the affirmative duty of disclosure. And so what we did was then we, for the first time, I believe it was on the 27th of June, reached out, and instead of emailing both prosecutors or just Ms. Morrissey, we reached out directly to Ms. Johnson and only to Ms. Johnson. And basically, under her obligations as a prosecutor now on this case, asked her to fulfill those obligations and do an affirmative review of everything and to turn over anything that needed to be turned over. The same day, in accordance with her responsibilities, she did then respond and said that she was requesting a full unredacted copy of the various of the thousands of documents that we received under IPRA that were still redacted, and that she would undertake an affirmative review of those items, as well as checking for an audit with the law enforcement agency.
And then there was this.
That same day, after she responded to us with the request that we had just sent her again earlier in the same day, we started to already get disclosures where Ms. Johnson was saying, "I found documents that are subject to disclosure under Rule 5501. Contrary to what we had been told from the inception of this case, which was that we had everything that fit under 5501.
The prosecution countered, stating that the blacked out portions were communications between prosecutors and paralegals to which the defense was not entitled.
The state has complied. I did receive the request, and Ms. Morrissey didn't have the unredacted IPRA. I requested the unredacted IPRA. We went through all of those documents and made those disclosures. They have the information, and the information that they want is information they're not entitled to.
You're going to have to make arguments on why the redacted portions of the IPRA request that she has kept redacted are fair game. And this is all about IPRA, is what I'm understanding.
There are statements that were obtained, yes, Your Honor, emails. There are thousands of pages of emails. Okay. And so, Your Honor, the proper remedy, they haven't shown how they're prejudiced.
So obviously you can tell the court is not happy with this. We are in recess. Go confer, and I'll see what's going to happen. I will give you an hour.
Thank you.
We're in recess.
The motions being heard include critical decisions about what evidence, testimony, and arguments will be permissible in front of the jury. A significant motion filed by Baldwin's legal team sought to exclude his role as a producer from consideration, arguing that it was irrelevant to the allegations of negligence. The prosecution ever maintained that Baldwin's producer role contributed to his reckless behavior, potentially endangering the safety of others.
They're trying to hold Mr. Baldwin responsible for what he did as an actor on the 21st because they claim he was reckless as a producer leading up to that time. That's a theory of vicarious liability in the criminal law that is not recognized.
In a decisive ruling, Judge Sumner denied the motion to introduce evidence of Baldwin's producer role. I'm having real difficulty with the state's position that they want to show, as a producer, he didn't follow guidelines, and therefore, as an actor, Mr. Baldwin did all these things wrong, resulting in the death of Elena Hutchins, because as a producer, he allowed all this to happen, Judge Sumner stated. She further noted that Baldwin was not the sole producer, implying that mentioning his role could unfairly suggest he was the only authority on set. I'm denying evidence of his status as a producer, she concluded. The judge's rulings on other motions included partial approval regarding Baldwin's prior handling of firearms, allowing photos but excluding instances of him rushing the crew. Additionally, a motion to exclude a defense witness was denied despite the prosecution's claim of late disclosure and lack of pretrial interview opportunities. The court ruled that the witnesses would be available for a pretrial interview. Court documents shed light on the prosecution's case, portraying Baldwin as the most experienced member of all the cast and crew, who missed the initial firearms training and was inattentive during a separate session with armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. They allege Baldwin spent the training time on his phone and making videos of himself shooting the gun. As jury selection begins...
Like a child.
Yes. Both sides are keenly aware of the high-profile nature of the case. Jury selection is important in every case, but critically important here, noted Nima Ramani, who's been a guest on our show, a former federal prosecutor. He emphasized the need to screen potential jurors for biases related to gun safety rights and celebrity status. Despite the serious charges, Nima does not foresee Baldwin being jailed if convicted, saying, quote, the New Mexico manslaughter statute carries an 18-month maximum sentence with no minimum. Ramani explained he pointed out that Baldwin's defense could argue for leniency by comparing his culpability to that of Assistant Director Dave Halls, who received probation for his role in the incident. It's going to be interesting to watch this thing progress. I don't like the idea where they can't name him as a producer in front of the jury. How about we educate the jury on what that actually means before we just say, nah, we're not gonna allow that. Tell the jury, there's like 10 producers on this. This is how this works. Sometimes it's in name only. Sometimes the producers on shows never even like were there or had anything to do with the damn production, but they have a piece in the company and then they become a producer on it. That's kind of how those things work. But I'm going to guess Alec had a bit more responsibility on set. That's just, I think he did. But was he the overseer of the weapons? No, he was not.
Thing that's going to come out here that obviously the prosecutor is going to throw out there is what we just mentioned, where he seemed distracted and he was on the phone and he was, you know, I don't know if he was doing TikTok videos or FaceTime with his family, like, oh, look at this big gun I've got here. It's a gun, Alec. Okay. It's a serious instrument. And yeah, you're on a movie set, but is that the time to make videos of yourself pretending to be in the Wild West? I don't know.
My speculation is that Alec just kind of thought he's done this before. He doesn't need to go for the training like all the newbies do, and it didn't apply to him. It's like, you know, it's like in school or something where the seniors don't need to get the initiation, you know, speech from the school. Here's how things work and all that, because they've been there. They've done that. And I'm guessing Baldwin's ego just kind of got the best of him, and he's just going to, you know, he's off to the side doing his own thing. Doesn't make it right, but I'm guessing that's probably what was happening.
I wouldn't doubt it, but I also know that, you know, if you're in safety training, it's the more you do something, the better you are at it. You know, our pilots that fly the planes, they've practiced maneuvers so many times that they can do it with their eyes closed, literally, that, you know, so not that Alec Baldwin is by any means of that caliber, and especially with a gun, but you know, if they're doing a firearms training, you might want to pay attention.
Well, know? how about lead by example? If yes. you're not paying attention on this and all these newbies are seeing you just off on the side diddling around, it probably tells them that this is okay. They don't need to pay that much attention if he's not paying attention. It strikes me as an ego thing on this case.
No, it's very true. Very, very true. I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I have a feeling once they get this underway, it's going to wrap fairly soon. I mean, they said what, less than 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I bet they're going to get their information out there and it's just going to be a done deal.
But what will happen? Nima doesn't think he's going to get any jail time. I don't know. I could see I don't see 18 months. I see maybe one or two, and maybe it ends up being, you know, house arrest or probation or something. But
well, they had already offered him a plea deal that he kind of just shrugged his shoulders and went, you know,
yeah,
I'm not going to respond by the date that this is due and whatever, bite me kind of is what I got from it.
Yeah.
So to me, would they want to maybe slam him a little bit for that, you know, we offered you something, you didn't take it. So here's a slap on the wrist.
I think they might want to slam him for ego. I think they might want to slam him for taking this. And I'm not going to say he isn't taking this seriously. His interviews and stuff, you can tell he's taking it seriously. Someone's life was lost. I think he feels probably a very incredible amount of guilt there. But I think just his behavior on set is what they're going to want to slam him for. After the fact is one thing, to act like you're taking it seriously. He should have been taking it all that seriously to begin with. And the thing is, things that you don't think of that could come back to bite you in the ass, like, oh, safety training over there, I already know all that, I've done this 1,000 times. That could come back to bite you in the ass. If nothing goes wrong, no, it's no big deal. Would it ever even be looked at again. But when something does go wrong, and you're too good to be part of something or too smart or whatever, that can come back at you. That's, again, where it goes to, okay, if you already have the intelligence, if you already have the experience and all that, then go to the training. Lead by example. Help explain things if you need to. Maybe you will learn a thing or two. But then when somebody has a question about what was just explained and you already have had experience in it, you know what they're referring to from the training, and you can help people get better at their job rather than just posting to TikTok.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.